I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, yeah. That was one of our better All Due Respect segments, Rich. I was thinking about it during the break.
I'm still laughing about it.
That was one of our better ones. I was pretty happy with that one. We have John McClain in the house with us at 420 here at Little Woodrow's. Posse assembling. Place starting to fill up. The food truck is here with the grilled or crispy chicken out there. So that's good. This is a place to be, man, on a... On a Friday, on
Mother
a good
Nature
Friday.
Is cooperating very nicely.
Very much so, very much so. I would say the football gods are cooperating too, Rich, by having the Jacksonville Jaguars in the same division with the Houston Texans. I don't know how you feel about the Jags overall. I'll ask you. I know you're higher on Nick Foles than I am, but if you had to stack rank the division right now, just inherently, I'm assuming you think the Colts are a pretty good football team.
Yeah,
I think the Texans to be 11-5.
Right,
doesn't leave a lot of meat on the plate for the Titans and the Jags.
Right, everybody's calling the Jags and the Titans clearly the second division within the division. I'm not so sure, especially when it comes to the Jags. A lot of the pieces are still in place on that defense that was pretty close to dominant 2 years ago, and I do think there's been a significant upgrade at the most important position on the field. I don't know if Foles is a true franchise quarterback, but he's a gigantic upgrade.
Well, he's getting paid like one, that's for sure.
Yeah.
4 years, $88 million. The deal can go up over $100 million if he hits certain incentives.
Not as sold on Mariota, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, neither are the Titans, or else they'd assign him to a long-term deal.
That's
he's going to play under the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
Which, you know, franchise quarterbacks generally don't play under the fifth-year option. They all get signed at least a year ahead of time.
Vrabel got off to a nice, good, really solid start last year.
He did. He was 3-1 out of the chute. And then he beat the Patriots along the way. He had his moments. There's no question about it.
9-7, if I'm not mistaken.
9-7.
Yeah. Out of the playoffs.
Right, right. The only team below 500 in the AFC South last year was the Jags. So we'll see what Foles can do to affect that, to affect the locker room that we've heard rumors of toxicity in that locker room. Nick Foles has a lot on his plate, as does Doug Marrone. And I'll take it all the way up the chain, as does Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin and his old-school sensibilities operating in the ecosystem of 2019 is an absolutely fascinating thing to watch, especially considering that Jalen Ramsey, he of the great skill set, but also he of the GQ interviews where he just takes a blowtorch to the entire league, very outspoken, and now not showing up for voluntary conditioning program.
Voluntary. Cannot overemphasize voluntary, although we all know that sometimes there's a gray area there, but it's voluntary. And look, Coughlin has been kind of an a-hole for a long time, but he's had a couple of big wins in the ultimate game that sort of validates his means, I guess, throughout his career.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do wonder if certain ways he goes about things continue to sort of weed themselves out of the game.
This whole, you know, showing up on time for a meeting and having it considered late is just stupid, childish high school stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what the crap he was pulling when he was a head coach of the Giants, where he's pulled in other places. And, I mean, I like holding players accountable, but holding them to a silly standard just seems stupid.
Yeah, look, in some places it may work. If you come into a team that's 2-14 as a coach like that, you can probably do whatever the hell you want because they were 2-14 before you got there. Who are they to say that this isn't the right way to do it?
And for those who don't know, Coughlin considered you late unless you showed up 10 or 15 minutes before a meeting time.
Mm-hmm. So he apparently had a media session yesterday. They called it a state of the franchise.
Yes,
that
I heard about this.
Well, we read about it yesterday. We talked about it on the air yesterday on this show. But I read the quotes. We didn't have the audio, so kudos to Mad Radio. We had the audio this morning, which we will now sponge off of right now. Here is Tom Coughlin basically doing the verbal equivalent of subtweeting Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith, who are not with the Jags for voluntary workouts.
Voluntary off-season program has begun. We're very close to 100% attendance, and quite frankly, all our players should be here. Building the concept of team, working hard side by side, constructing our bond of togetherness, formulating our collective priorities and goals.
not about rights and privileges. It's about obligations and responsibility. And the question is, can we count on you? Discipline, organizing your priorities, committing yourself to doing the things necessary to succeed. No shortcuts, no procrastination. Discipline is the refining fire by which talent becomes ability. Championship teams have one common denominator. They are comprised of individuals who have a burning desire to win, to be champions. Championship teams are dominated by selfless individuals who recognize that the welfare of the team must always be paramount to any other consideration.
Rich, it's the strangest audio because this was a session with the media to give an update on the state of the franchise. He sounds like he's speaking to a bunch of middle managers at like a GE convention or something like that.
Well, he's completely dismissing the existence of the Players Association.
Yeah.
I mean, to basically sum it up there at the end by saying you must always put us ahead of you is just unrealistic. Obviously, you saw the same thing I saw. The union was quick to respond to this, and you know what? The league should have a problem with this, not just the union. He's basically trampling over the negotiated rights of the players.
Well, he's taking something that's voluntary and calling it an obligation. He literally used the word obligation. It's not an obligation.
Yeah,
and there's a tweet I'm looking at that has a picture of Eric Winston in it. Talking to an audience of some sort, but with a quote.
Looking very executive in nature.
He is. His hair is just neatly coiffed, and he's got on a great suit, and he's owning the room. Got a great watch on as well. The most important thing, obviously, is the quote, which I will get to here. Our CBA definition of voluntary is the same as the actual definition of voluntary and prohibits anyone from threatening players to participate in voluntary workouts. By the way, this is a much more fun tweet to read when you're reading it in your head with Eric Winston's voice.
Definitely.
I can just hear the sarcasm of our CBA definition of voluntary is the same as the actual definition of voluntary. Continuing, this is precisely the reason players negotiated strict work rules and bright lines when it comes to off-season activities. We know from experience not all coaches and executives will adhere to them, and we always pursue any violations to protect our rules.
Not just protect 100% their rules. Right. Protect their players. That's what the union is there for. And he's absolutely 100% right that if these conditions had not been collectively bargained and were not in place in writing, come on. Coaches around the league would be taking advantage of these off-season programs with players and taking it to where they shouldn't take it.
The Jalen Ramsey thing is really interesting, Rich. The reason I like this story is because it involves a player who is probably the best at his position in the league, and I think didn't have a great year like he normally does last year, but nobody did on Jacksonville.
But he's the
like.
Kind of player that nobody should raise eyebrows about missing a voluntary workout.
Well, I would say that. I mean, clearly the guy gets his work done. He plays at an all-pro level. But I think the reason this is interesting and it involves Jalen Ramsey is that not only is he the best at what he does at his position, he's probably one of the top 10 players in the league, independent of position. Not one of the 10 most valuable, those are all quarterbacks, but just at his job on a year-to-year basis. And to add another layer to that, Jalen Ramsey is now 3 years into his career. So he, like 29 other first-round picks from a few years ago, are going to get their, you know, most of them are going to get their fifth-year options exercised in a couple of weeks, Will Fuller being one of those as well. Fifth-year option being the 2020 season. But the reason why it's interesting is we remember J.J. Watt started to make noise about his contract, his rookie contract, after three seasons. It takes a special breed of player to be able to make arguments that I deserve an extension after three seasons. That's when, by rule, they're eligible to get long-term extensions. Jalen Ramsey is a guy who can make that claim. He's a guy who can take his body of work the first 3 years and say, I want a long-term extension now. And I don't know if this is about that or not, or if this is just about Jalen Ramsey not wanting to be around the team, or he's got his own trainer that he works with. We know sometimes when it's guys not being there, Ted Johnson was a good example of this.
Yeah.
He said Belichick held it against him forever, but he happened to one offseason want to work out with this guy in Tomball here because it was his personal trainer.
Well, look, he again, to reiterate, he's doing nothing. It might be nothing. He might be just exercising his negotiated right to not be a part of those workouts. And look, we've talked about this. We talked about it with Cecil a couple of days ago. If you're on the roster bubble, if you're a guy who needs to make an impression, well, you're an idiot if you don't show up for stuff like this. There's no question about that. But if you're a guy that plays on the level of Jalen Ramsey, you should be able to enjoy the option of not being there and not have to suffer for that decision.
Yeah, my guess is here, Rich, I want to circle back to Ramsey in a second. My guess is Coughlin, what he said in that soundbite, as absurd as it sounded, it really, I mean,
I don't think you have to guess.
No.
What you're about to say is absolutely true.
The notion that Coughlin is putting out there, I kind of understand. Like, your management, you want most of your guys in the building. The way he goes about saying it is completely out of line and just comical. The way that he's talking to the media, like he's making a speech to his fellow countrymen, something like that. But I think he speaks for every other management team in the league. I think Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain would like Jadeveon Clowney to be in the building. I think they'd like all 53 guys plus whatever futures guys they have, and
right.
They want them all in the building.
But they're smart enough to know that they have the right to stay away, and it's probably a bad idea to threaten them, which this is. This is kind of a veiled threat,
yeah.
What he said, if they don't show up.
Yeah. Where it becomes interesting to me, specific to Ramsey, is Coughlin obviously is, by title, the most powerful person in the organization, not named Shad Khan, who's the owner.
Right.
But is he really the most powerful person in the organization? We know, the most powerful person in the Texans organization is Cal McNair, the owner, and then probably after that, it's probably a power-sharing thing between football-wise between Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain, and obviously Jamie Roots is the president of the team. But we know that the power when it comes to the football side of things is often held by the marquee players when it comes to their specific future.
Sure.
Right? I mean, Deshaun Watson may not have the title or the level on the org chart of Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain, but he's the most valuable employee in the building because the most important thing is the on-field product. Ramsey's not a quarterback, but he is the best player on that football team.
At a premier position.
That's a good point to make, too. If it comes down to a staring contest between Jalen Ramsey and Tom Coughlin, who wins?
That's a good question.
I mean, if you're Shad Khan, who do you pick, Jalen Ramsey or Tom Coughlin?
I think it's Ramsey. I think that, and that's something we should address here in this conversation. It's not like Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin are on particularly long leashes.
No,
at
you're
this
not.
Point.
This may be a better question to ask after the season.
Yeah, I think Marrone is probably on a fairly short leash.
I would agree.
I think Coughlin a little bit longer, but not a long leash. Yeah. So that fact alone tells me that Ramsey would be the choice in the question you posed.
It would certainly be a more intriguing battle if Jalen Ramsey were a quarterback and not a cornerback.
That's true.
I think it would be a route if he were the quarterback. If Jalen Ramsey were the quarterback equivalent of what he is a corner, then it's him. I'm not so sure that they would side with Ramsey, Rich, that management and ownership would side with Ramsey. Some of it may depend on how they look this year. If they're 9-7 after this season or 10-6, and this thing turns into something after the year's over, and it could, because Ramsey will be even more entrenched probably in wanting top-of-the-end defensive player money, then Coughlin may, they may pull a Khalil Mack trade with him like the Raiders did.
That's true. Is he heading into the fourth year of his rookie deal?
Fourth year.
So he's one of these guys on the list.
The fifth-year option.
That they need by May 3rd. The date is
fast
approaching.
The
there's no question he's getting the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
Excellent question. I love when these come in on the text page. One of our listeners asking this, Sean. I think it's a great question. Is Clowney as good at his job as Ramsey is at his?
Okay, this touches on two things that I've
great
got on the
question.
Rundown here
great
that I want to
question.
Hit. That I want to let's start with that one. We'll go in reverse order of how we have them here on the rundown, Rich. Would you trade Clowney for Ramsey if you were the Texans?
In a heartbeat.
I would, too. Would the Jacksonville Jaguars make the trade of Jadeveon Clowney for Jalen Ramsey?
No.
I don't think they would unless Ramsey's pulling an Antonio Brown.
Okay, all right. That's a good caveat. But,
yeah.
But by and
just
large,
player for
no.
player. If we're taking attitude out of it, just their body of work versus
by
body
and large,
work.
No.
I would say, no, Ramsey is the best at his job in the league. Clowney's not the best at his job in the league, but he's damn good at his job.
I would say he's at the second level from where Ramsey is.
Yeah, and the first level's not very populated.
No.
Like when you say like second
I totally
level,
agree.
Second level, he still is a very good player.
Absolutely.
My feeling on Ramsey, Rich, all along.
Ramsey's elite. Clowney's still trying to prove he's elite.
Yeah, I think it's a fair way to put it. I'll put it a little differently. I've said this about Jalen Ramsey for the last year, and I stand by it, even with the season that he had this past year, which didn't have nearly the accolades as it did in previous seasons, and notwithstanding the things that we've watched DeAndre Hopkins be able to do against Jalen Ramsey, I think that speaks to the greatness of Hopkins as much as it does anything.
It's true, yes.
But my feeling on Jalen Ramsey, if I had to pick a player under the age of 25, non-quarterback, under the age of 25, who I'm going to bet on them being a Hall of Famer, I would bet on Jalen Ramsey. I think when his career's body of work is said and done, he's going to be one of these guys. He's going to be like a deluxe version of Patrick Peterson in some ways, where he's got eight Pro Bowl, nine Pro Bowls, three or four or five first team All Pros. He's that good. So
Clowney's piling up the Pro Bowls, and Clowney's piling up a pretty strong football resume, but not on the level that Ramsey's
on. Not on the level of Ramsey. Now, the other question with Ramsey becomes, if you're the Jags and Tom Coughlin has as big a bug up his butt about Jalen Ramsey as it sounds like he does, and he wants to pull a Gruden and send a message and go get draft picks.
Don't put it past
and
him.
And rebuild the team. I wouldn't put it past him. What's an acceptable package for Jalen Ramsey? Is it the Khalil Mack package?
Or are we heading down that franchise tag road?
No, I'm just talking if they throw their hands up and they say, we're going to trade him. We want to get, the Jags, like the Raiders did with Khalil Mack, say we don't want to give him 6 years, 6 years, $140 million, $86 million guaranteed.
But again, like I said, they can exercise the 50-year option and then go and tag him after that.
I got it. What if it's a combination of a Khalil Mack and Antonio Brown situation? You know what I mean? Come get with me to a place where they're in a mood to trade him.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Probably two ones. Is where the conversation
Khalil Mack package
starts.
I think it starts there.
I
think he demands more than Khalil Mack.
Probably so.
I agree. If it were right now, you'd demand more for Khalil Mack because, one, he plays – Khalil Mack's an edge rusher. Jalen Ramsey's a corner. They're both really important positions.
It's not too much of a difference.
I think it's really hard to find a guy that does what Jalen Ramsey does.
It is.
Like, really, really hard to find that guy. And he's younger, too. He's only 3 years in.
Right,
and Mack
but Mack's
is heading
an edge rusher who's
year.
Been defensive player of the year. So, I mean,
they're both
that's
great players.
Hard to find as well.
They're both great players. I would give more for Ramsey than I would for Khalil Mack.
Probably so.
Yeah. They're both – but, man, I hope this is – as a Texan fan, and maybe if you're a Jag fan, this is how you rate, like, what we should do with Jalen Ramsey. As a Texan fan, I pray that they send Jalen Ramsey somewhere else.
I don't think your prayer is going to be answered. I don't think the Jaguars are that stupid. Again, if it came down to Coughlin or Ramsey, they would choose Ramsey. I don't think he's going anywhere.
No.
I do think 50-year option, possibly a tag or two, are very much in play if they can't agree on a long term.
Yeah. And then – now, here's the thing, Rich. Jalen Ramsey – is a guy who I think could pull an Antonio Brown, who does have the stomach to be a real pain in the ass.
Based alone on the GQ interview?
And various other things.
No, I know,
mean,
I'm
he's,
saying.
You know, like, but the,
yes.
the GQ
no,
interview.
I agree with you.
The GQ interview is his magnum opus. I mean, that's the big thing.
Right, that's his Mein Kampf.
Yeah, his Mein Kampf, exactly. Exactly. But
how many people got that reference?
But just the whole body. Or, hey, anybody who took world history, man, you got to pay attention.
And full of the same grammatical errors. No, never mind.
But I think Jalen Ramsey has that club in his bag.
I agree.
If it got to next year in the offseason and he's like, I ain't playing under this franchise tag and I don't want to be here anymore, and I'm going to start throwing ottomans out my 14th floor window, and I'm going to start driving really fast.
Then this
and I'm
is
gonna
a start, different conversation.
And I'm going to start throwing Nick Foles under the bus. Hey, Rich, I haven't brought up anything Antonio Brown didn't do
you're right.
to get out of Pittsburgh.
Allegedly. No, you're right. He did.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.